You've been hearing all day about the change in the census in Canada, the change in how families are structured. The fact is, we've got more people living alone. We've got a change in demographics in terms of what are called skip generations. We've got a whole lot going on. Well, how do you make sense of it all? Andrea Mrozek follows this kind of thing for Cardis Family. Regular guest on radio and TV with me over the years. And the headline from Cardis says, increased family complexity masks family instability. Andrea Mrozek joins me on the line now. Good day to you, my friend.
Good day to you. How are you, Brian?
It's a beautiful sunny day and I'm in a radio studio. Otherwise, great. Fill me in on what was the takeaway from you? I've heard about the skip generations from the Canadian press reports. I've heard about more people living single. I've heard about increase in same-sex marriages. What was your takeaway from looking at the census data released today on family composition?
Right. So the main takeaway would be that it's not really surprising to witness the trends that are put forward in Census 2016. I think that we were expecting to see lower rates of marriage, higher rates of cohabitation. Actually, lone parenting held steady, so I'd flag that as a very positive thing. But yeah, I would say the main takeaway is that it's not a surprising census. The other takeaway for me personally is that it's clear to me that Statistics Canada doesn't see the value and importance of marriage, because the way that the statistics have been released means that researchers like myself have to dig into the data to get the actual percentages for historic comparison, looking at, for example, married families as a percentage of census families. That's a very important statistic because social science research shows that marriage is the most stable family form. It provides health benefits, a good marriage does. And there's other aspects of social stability that are linked with marriage. So it's an important data point, and it's one that we're going to have to sift through the data to find out.
So, hold on. You weren't able to... So you're looking at the data for today, mm-hmm. and 78% of couples are married.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't able to say, how does that compare to 2006, 2001, 1996? You weren't able to go back to past census data?
You can, but it's phrased in a different way. So, for example, it was previously more common to say married couples as a percentage of census families. So in Canada in 2011, that was 67%, and it's just being phrased in a slightly different way, so we'll have to dig through to make that exact comparison. I mean, the data is all there, but it's evident to me that marriage has not got the same priority level, which of course reflects the fact that marriage rates are going down, but it still is a fairly important statistic and a neutral one, and I think an important one to put forward as a mainstay of a census release, also for international comparison purposes.
The news, you say, is not all negative. The proportion of children living in single-parent homes appears to have leveled off in Canada at 19.2% in 2016, barely changed from 2011. That's lower than rates in the U.S. and the United Kingdom. Why is that important?
Well, actually, the census released today comes right out and says it. That lone parent families, as we know from our friends and families who are doing it, it's a tough job and they may be in need of greater social services and greater support. So what we want, I think, is to see children being raised by their own married parents. That remains the main way. 70% of children in Canada today are being raised by their biological parents. But, you know, lone parenting represents a more difficult path for families and can represent increased instability for kids. So, the census comes out and says it may be a call when you have high lone parenting rates. It may be a call for increased supports.
I'm amazed that Stats Canada says that, because it sounds like a very politically incorrect thing to say. It might offend people. I don't think any offense is aimed at lone parent families, though, who know they may need support.
Right. All these data points are, I would argue, neutral data points, and ones where we can have either policy implications or just neighborhood implications. We want to be caring for one another, and we want to be concerned. And so to point to one area of concern, you know, single-person households, it depends on the reason why people are living alone, but if it reflects the aging demographics that we have, and if it reflects that elderly people are socially isolated, living alone, we want to be reacting to that compassionately and engaging in charitable efforts or even just in our own personal private efforts to help out and ensure that social isolation isn't on the rise, which I flag that particular statistic. No,
I wanted to ask you about that. Speaking with Andrea Morozek, she is the program director at Cardis Family, social science researcher who is constantly looking at the structure of Canadian society and trying to come up with policy ideas. So what for policymakers, you hear that there's an increase in people living alone. Talking to the statisticians at StatsCan, they say it is actually just people living longer and often being widowed, and so they have more time on their own. You mentioned social isolation. What can policymakers look at? What can we as a society restructure ourselves around?
Yeah, it's something that we want to be concerned about because social isolation is a very real phenomenon. I know that in other parts of the world, they're working on changing the way that senior citizens live. For example, putting a student residence together with an old people's home, and that is a way of increasing community and having students mingling with our elderly and senior citizens. That's the type of creative solution I would see as being something for Canada to examine and look at. But we know that social isolation can be accompanied by greater depression, anxiety, these sorts of things. So when I saw that statistic, I certainly didn't view it as positive. And I think it's something that we will need to account for and watch closely. Again, the reasons behind it probably lie in the aging demographics of our country. And it's a cause. It's definitely something to be, I would argue, something to watch out for and be concerned about.
Bottom line, sky's not falling, though?
Yeah, it's a slow trend downward for marriage and a slow trend upward for cohabitation. The lone parenting stats are positive that they've been held at a certain level. So, no, sky's not falling. But again, with social change, it always happens over generations and decades, not from, 2011 to 2016. So a long-term trajectory is important to witness here.
You note a 5% increase in cohabitation over marriage, common law relationships over marriage, a 5% rise in those over 15 years. I thought it would have been higher.
Yeah. Well, and in Quebec, it probably is where we have the highest rates of cohabitation, arguably in the world. And in another moment where Statistics Canada was possibly politically incorrect, they also note that Quebec children may be at greater risk of witnessing family breakdown, and that they reflect could be the result of higher instability among common law unions. So they come right out and say that as well. It's interesting how, there's not that much disagreement in social science research on the point that cohabitation is less stable than marriage. We simply just don't hear it that often.
All right. Andrea, thanks for the time today.
Thank you very much.